Let's get down to the business of evil thoughts. It's Joe Crummy. Speaking of evil,
somebody I'm going to kill. I'm going to kill this guy right here.
Yeah, well, that's the voice of Steve Stevens, who live streamed a murder on Facebook over the weekend. He is still at large. He just pulled up to a random guy on the side of the street, Robert Goodwin, and just shot him. So they're looking for that guy today. That's evil. You know what I'm talking about. But there's plenty of fake evil to go around today. Trump, of course, being criticized again all weekend long. United Airlines taking a heat for being evil. And there's North Korea, which I believe is evil. So we'll be talking about that on the podcast today. First, the president was asked about North Korea. He was at the Easter egg hunt today on the lawn in front of the White House. It's hard to hear him, but you can hear all the crowd here. They asked him at one point about what about North Korea. Listen closely. Here's the president. Yeah, behave. So the president wants North Korea to behave. Meanwhile, you have Vice President Pence, who is in Korea right now. He's just a couple of miles from the border between North and South Korea. He says the era of strategic patience is over. I think that he's right about that. I want to play you some tape of somebody you probably never heard of. Her name is KT McFarland. And it'd be really funny if she was related to Seth MacFarlane, but I don't think so. But KT is President Trump's former deputy national security advisor. She used to be a Fox contributor. She went to MIT, George Washington University. She's very smart. She's talking about what we were talking about last week on the podcast. But first, she'll just talk about demilitarization. It's only a couple of seconds. Here's KT McFarland.
We all understand that the Korean Peninsula should be denuclearized. We've said it. The Chinese have said it. The Russians, everybody said it. The question is, how do you do it?
Yeah, everybody knows that. But here's the key thing, and I think Trump gets this, and I think KT McFarland articulates it perfectly.
And I think what the president, President Trump, was able to convey to the Chinese president is that North Korea is no longer an asset.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. North Korea no longer an asset. That, you know, the president looks at President Xi and says, who's your largest trading partner, President Xi? Yeah, that's right. He's the evil United States. So your future is with us. It's not with some wacko guy. Well, this is my editorialization here. I don't think Mr. Trump said that. Maybe he did. I don't know. But, you know, your future isn't with these losers in North Korea. Your future's with the United States. If you guys want to become this, you know, first world country and you're well on your way and, you know, you want to sell your goods and stuff in the United States, we'll buy them. Okay, but we can't have this guy in North Korea with a nuclear program. It's not going to work. So over the weekend, they tried to launch. We were supposed to have a nuclear war on, Friday night, our time in the United States, which means it would have been Saturday already in Korea because they're, you know, 15 hours ahead of us. And they had a big military parade, and I was streaming. This is interesting. I was streaming North Korean national TV on Friday night, and, you know, you see all these pictures of these big missiles being dragged through town, through the big square. It is reminiscent of what you used to see years ago in the old Soviet Union when they would parade all these missiles through Red Square. The joke on that was their leader back in the 60s was Khrushchev, and when he was an old geezer, they asked him about it. And he said, yeah, they were all made out of wood, and they were painted, but they looked great. I mean, he said the West didn't realize that. And as a kid, I remember looking at them, they looked real to me, but he said they were fake. Whatever. I would take North Korea at their word that they're real. I'm sure the ones you saw are mock-ups. They don't want a real bomb, you know, with all these people around it. But I'm sure they have their missiles and they're working on them real hard. They tried to set one off over the weekend, launch one. It blew up. And I've been saying, and I mentioned this because I read WikiLeaks and Vault 7, the CIA is all over their launch codes, all over their sequences, all over their launch system with malware. And so the thing goes up, and then somebody in Maryland, I swear to God, says, okay, press this button, boom, and the thing just blows up. What I thought was interesting when I was watching Korea TV over the weekend, and you see these missiles and all that, after a while it stops being live, and they start playing, I guess, film from 20, 30 years ago of Korea, and they play music and scenes of the countryside and all this kind of stuff. It just seemed so quaintly out of date and not sophisticated compared to what we are used to in the West. And alongside that video that I thought was also very telling was just live streaming of comments in real time. And there were some, most of them in English, some of them in Spanish, some with Chinese characters and languages, you know, that I don't speak or whatever it was. But what was amazing was how brutal it was and how aware people were of the, let's just say, lack of sophistication of Korea when you're watching their television, when you're watching their propaganda, to see how aware the Western audience is of that lack of sophistication. And it was brutal. I mean, people really bagging on North Korea. And it just showed me that these people need to integrate with the rest of the planet in a hurry and stop wasting everybody's time. All right, let's move on. United Airlines, evil. Over the weekend, there was a story about evil United Airlines who supposedly, if you listen to the headlines about the headlines were, oh, United just threw a couple that was going to get married or trying to go to their honeymoon off one of their flights. You know, they're evil. And to break the story down, there's a controversy. There was a couple on a flight out of Houston. They were going to fly to Costa Rica. I'm all for that. I think that's a great idea. Let's all go to Costa Rica. And they got kicked off the airplane. They say, I'll make a long story short, there's controversy. They say one thing, the airline says something else. But the airline says that they would not take orders. The airline said, you know, go back to your seats. And the couple apparently did not do so. So United Airlines got a air marshal and threw him off the plane. And it's hard for me to believe that United Airlines would just be jerks to someone else after what happened with David Dow last week. It's hard for me to believe they would go, yeah, we're the new evil airline. We throw everybody off just because we can, you know. It's hard to believe that. But it's interesting to me to see how it's pitched by the media. You know, now it's all about destroying United Airlines. The couple apparently didn't want to sit in the seats they wanted to sit in. They wanted to upgrade to other seats, and they didn't want to pay for it. And there was more leg room in those seats. And they said, no, not leg. You know, whatever. It's hard to tell who's zooming who here. But it's hard for me to believe that United Airlines would go out of their way to screw another couple. David Dow, by the way, they were talking about him over the weekend. Ralph Nader is an old 60s activist who wrote a book, I think it was called Unsafe at Any Speed, and it was about automobiles. It was about cars. And his big thing back in the 60s was, oh, these cars aren't safe, and we've got to have some safety standards. And I'm a consumer advocate. The guy's got to be 1,000 years old now. He's been around for a long time. They interviewed him over the weekend. I was driving in my safe car. And they asked him about this, and he's talking about how we've got to change our relationship with the airlines, and he may be right about that, but he had that 60s hippie sort of, what the hell with the man kind of attitude. And they asked him, they said, well, didn't United have the right to throw David Dow off the airplane? And he kind of brushed it aside. He goes, yeah, like dictators, they had it. Like dictators. You know, when you buy a ticket, it's a complex contract that none of us read. I agree with you on that. But they had every right to throw him off. And Ralph Nader was, like, excited. He was, he'll never have to work another day in his life, as though this is some great accomplishment. You know what? You know who's going to pay for that? You are. Anybody that's going to fly on planes is going to pay for that kind of stuff. Because the airlines have been able to overbook flights and bump people so they can make sure those seats are full so they can make the money on it. Okay, if you take that option away from them, that's fine. And you can be all excited and run around and say that you've done such a great job, but you're going to pay for that because the airlines aren't going to lose the money. They're going to figure out a way to raise ticket prices to make up for the money they're going to lose. That's just the way it's going to be. And then they say Delta, by the way. Don't be fooled by this. A lot of people are saying that Delta now is going to give you 10 grand if they bump you from a flight. There are federal laws that limit how much airlines can give you. The cap is $1,350. Now, the Senate and the House may get involved. Congress may get involved. I'll get to that in just a second. But Delta's saying 10 grand. It's probably vouchers, number one. It's probably vouchers and maybe gift cards to other unrelated businesses, but it ain't about the cash. Because over the weekend, there were stories about, oh, 10,000. And they were interviewing all these people with that same sort of Ralph Nader attitude, like, yeah, I could just make free money off the airlines, yuck, yuck, yuck. And how to actually get bumped on a Delta flight now, because you think you're going to get 10,000. I think you got to be pretty damn bored sitting around doing that. But whatever, I'm sure somebody's going to try that. But I'm telling you right now, once Congress gets involved, I can guarantee it, get your checkbook out, because it's going to cost you money. Back to Trump on the media. Over the weekend, I was talking about evil Donald Trump and the protests that were going on, the big tax protests over the weekend. And you got people in New York and all across the country, I suppose, that are trying to get Trump to give up his tax returns, because for some reason people think that in those tax returns, there's going to be that smoking gun that Trump is somehow in bed with the Russians and they've got all of his money. And, you know, as if the CIA, by the way, wouldn't already know that. But, you know, the liberals are kind of bored. They don't know what else to do with themselves. So they're running around thinking that they're going to get all this great information about Trump from his tax returns. I'm telling you right now, if Trump was in bed with the Russians, you would have known about it by now, and it wouldn't have a damn thing to do with his tax return. But it was funny the way the media was covering it. In New York City, MSNBC reporter Morgan Radford asked Deborah Messing. Deborah Messing used to appear as an actress on Will and Grace, and it's hard to hear her because there's a bunch of protesters in the background, guy with a big amplified voice. But here is Deborah Messing talking about Trump, please give up your tax returns so that we can be safe as a democracy. Let's see if we can understand what she's saying.
What have we got,
Trump,
to lose?
If you have nothing to hide, then please release them. Why not? Because if you release them and you're not hiding anything, the American people can feel rest assured that at least our democracy is protected.
That, you know, first of all, that is BS. Mr. Trump, if you just give up your tax returns, then we'll be sure, you know, then we'll stop. Ha! Yeah, right. Yeah, just let us see your tax returns. Then everything's going to be copacetic. I might do that. If I were Trump, I'd go, okay. If every liberal in the United States signs a statement that you will shut up, that'd be great, but that's not going to happen. But, I mean, there's a point there that, you know, you kind of want to know who the president's in bed with, but we have a remedy for that. It's called the CIA. I think she says it one more time, and then the reporter cracks me up. Let's see if she says it one more time.
If you care about the American people, you will release your taxes.
Right, if you care about the American people, release your taxes. All right, fine. Then the reporter from MSNBC, this is great. This is Morgan Radford. She says, and I'll say it because it's hard to hear her, but she says, describe the threat that the current administration is to our democracy when it comes to neutralizing that. This is a reporter. I mean, I know it's MSNBC. This is who they are, but this is supposedly the media. Describe the threat that the current administration is to our democracy when it comes to neutralizing that. You know, actions like this are the way to make you feel like your voice is being heard. I think this is what the MSNBC reporter says.
Deborah, describe the threat that the current president is to our democracy. When it comes to neutralizing that, do you think that activities like this and actions like this is the way to make our voices heard?
Well, you know, that's the supposed journalist in the background. Describe the threat that the current administration is. And here's Deborah Messing just wrapping up here.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, in a democracy, every voice is equal.
No, it's not. The guy in the background is a lot louder than you are, but whatever. And that's the thing. Over the weekend, I was watching Saturday Night Live, too. You know, that turned into a big thing on my Facebook. I said over the weekend that Saturday Night Live has confused being funny with bashing Trump. They think bashing Trump is funny. And I guess it is if you're a Trump basher. But, I mean, if you like Trump, it's not funny at all. And all of the liberal memes you know, Trump is stupid, he's evil, Steve Bannon is the angel of death and all that. Yuck, 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 they all think they're so damn funny. They never did that with President Obama. I mean, and this is all coming out of people, Alec Baldwin, all these people that hate Trump anyway. I think the criticism of Saturday Night Live, that they've assumed that everybody's into Trump bashing, and all you have to do is just make Trump look stupid, and it's, ha, 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 they're just laughing their butts off, man. What can I tell you? Just get off my lawn, all right? I don't even watch Saturday Night Live, and I think a lot of people don't. I just wait for the next morning when they play the clips and I can look at it, because on Saturday night, I got news for you. I got better things to do, sit around and watch TV. Wow. Hey, look, I want you to rate this podcast. Rate this podcast on iTunes. I want you to subscribe to this podcast. Also, follow me on Facebook. I would love to hear from you on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter, where I am trolling Sarah Silverman now, and it's pretty funny. but those are my evil thoughts. It's Joe Crummy. Turn up the music.